From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, July 17th. I'm Abby Larico. Democratic voters in the 2nd and 4th districts will go to the polls in August to choose their candidates for county council. All say they are best equipped to help close the divide on an often fractious council.
We may not be best friends, but our objective is to put that F-18 in the sky.
You'll hear more about the women running to represent parts of North and Central St. Louis County coming up on The Gateway. Heavy rain fell across the St. Louis Public Radio listening area Tuesday, triggering flash flood warnings. In Nashville, Illinois, the city's reservoir topped one earthen dam and breached another, forcing the evacuation of nearly 200 homes. KSDK News is reporting a couple from Alton died when their car became trapped in a flash flood in Jersey County. In Belleville, St. Clair County officials were forced to evacuate animals from the county shelter. Firefighters in St. Louis rescued people from vehicles. Ben Herzog is the science and operations officer at the National Weather Service in St. Louis. He says forecasters knew there would be some storms and isolated flash flooding, but they did not expect the widespread heavy rain.
These things that initiate thunderstorms this time of year tend to be really subtle and really difficult to pick out, and that was definitely the case here.
Herzog says portions of the region may have gotten as many as 8 inches of rain. The cause of a massive sinkhole in an Alton park that formed above a mine last month is still officially unknown. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, there is a preliminary theory.
Alton Mayor David Goins says the initial finding from the U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration blames the sinkhole on an underground cave.
MSHA determined the cause of the mine subsidence was buildup of mud and other sediment in an ancient cave in the mine, which eventually collapsed, creating the sinkhole.
But the CEO of New Frontier Materials, the mine company, says he's unaware of those preliminary findings. And with the help of MSHA, the company will continue to drill to confirm the cause. The park remains closed. Eventually, the sinkhole will be filled in. Goins says the legal teams for the city and the company are still working out who will pay for the repairs. In Alton, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A whistleblower says the Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital is closing its doors for good. Former case manager Jamie Reed made the announcement in an op-ed piece published in the Post-Dispatch Tuesday. The news stems from backlash the center received following Reed's whistleblower complaint that the clinic had prescribed hormones to minors with mental health issues. The complaint led to an investigation by Attorney General Andrew Bailey. The paper reports a spokesperson for BJC Healthcare, which operates the hospital where the clinic is based, could not confirm Reed's claims. However, a spokesperson from Washington University did acknowledge there had been some personnel changes. A St. Charles County manufacturer that produces critical components for semiconductor chips is getting federal support to expand its operations. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on the $400 million of CHIPS and Science Act funding for Global Wafers.
The award from the U.S. Department of Commerce will help build new manufacturing facilities in O'Fallon, Missouri and Sherman, Texas. Arthi Prabhakar directs the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. She says this investment is an important way to establish U.S. manufacturing of silicon wafers.
Trying to make a semiconductor chip without a wafer is sort of like trying to make a taco without a tortilla. It just won't work. Wafers are the foundation, and if you don't have wafers, then you don't have chips.
Prabhakar says the total $400 million investment will support $4 billion in capital investments from Global Wafers. She says it will help create about 500 construction jobs and 130 facility jobs in Missouri. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Animal shelters in St. Louis are experiencing an overflow of dogs and cats being brought into their facilities. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports on how one shelter is addressing this problem.
The Animal Protective Association of Missouri currently has almost 700 animals in its care, and both of its shelters are full. APA President and CEO Sarah Javier says most of the animals being brought in are large dogs, making it especially challenging for the APA to find space to care for them. To address this, she says the APA is waiving adoption fees for dogs more than 30 pounds through Monday.
If a person is considering adopting a pet, now is the perfect time. Not only are you able to bring a pet into your home, but you're also creating space for another pet who is in need.
She says all pets are vaccinated, spayed or neutered, and microchipped before they leave the APA, and they also provide a collar, leash, starter bag of dog food, and 30 days of pet insurance. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some Democratic voters in St. Louis County will go to the polls in August to pick their candidate for county council. In the 2nd District, which covers parts of Northwest and Central St. Louis County, an outgoing state representative and a local city councilwoman are vying for the chance to fill the open seat. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has this preview.
Nicole Greer intended to run for a third term on the Creve Coeur City Council, but when Kelly Dunaway decided not to seek re-election, Greer had a choice. Ultimately, she decided to, quote, give the 2nd District the representation it needs.
The 2nd District deserves someone who is going to engage with them, show up for them, listen, and respond.
Meanwhile, Gretchen Bangert was looking for a way to keep serving her community after being term limited from the state house.
St. Louis County, I want to see it grow and prosper. And at this point in time, everything I see in the paper, it's like we're just infighting. We're not, looking towards our future.
Bangert spent the early part of her professional career working for St. Louis County. She says that knowledge will be key.
I understand how county budget works. I understand how extremely important the internal auditor's office is. There has not been very many audits done, I think just a couple in the last 7 or 8 years. There should be audits done all the time.
The 2nd District includes much of Coldwater Creek. Both women say the cleanup of radioactive waste from the creek is a key issue, although the county council has limited authority in the area. Both emphasize the importance of working with other local elected officials in the district. Greer would also work to build bridges on the council itself.
I don't think it's a secret that there are some relationship issues on the council. I pride myself in trying to get along with people that we may not share the same values, but we have a shared goal.
Bangert and Greer are running against a third Democratic candidate, Laquisha Young. Young has not reported raising or spending any money. Her website touts a focus on violent crime and economic development. The primary winner will face a Republican candidate in November.
And now Lippman brings us a preview of the 4th District, which covers the northern tip of St. Louis County. It's a near rematch of the Democratic primary in 2020.
Rochelle Walton Gray spent a single term on the council before that 2020 loss to incumbent Shalonda Webb. Gray wants to return to office to take care of unfinished business.
I do a lot of community projects and want to be able to continue that. It's a much more smoother process when you're an elected official.
For Webb, now the council's chairwoman, seeking re-election is something she is doing for the community.
Those are the people who came to me and said, Councilwoman Webb, we're making some great strides. We're really, really making a difference out here. We want to continue to work with me.
Both women say they will focus on attracting new businesses to the district. They see potential in the new Wildcare Park, as well as at the site of the former Jamestown Mall. Both also recognize the need to get the county's budget balanced, though Webb would focus on reducing spending, while Gray wants to focus on new sources of revenue. While Democrats are likely to be the majority no matter what, the results of the primaries could help determine the nature of the relationship between the council and County Executive Sam Page. Gray and Page were close allies during her first term, and Gray went to work for the county health department after she was ousted. But she says she can be independent.
There's no reason for me to rubber stamp anything just because the county executive wants it. That would not make sense, and I would not run for office to do that.
Webb, meanwhile, has found herself at odds with Page, but she says her job as a software engineer at Boeing has taught her to work with others towards a shared goal.
We may not be best friends, but our objective is to put that F-18 in the sky. Do your part, I'm going to do my part, and we're going to get that aircraft in the sky.
The winner of the primary will face off against Republican and Libertarian candidates in November. The district is heavily Democratic. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You'll hear from the candidates in the Republican primary in the 6th District tomorrow. You can find all of our election coverage at stlpr.org. Our Fred Ehrlich edited those pieces. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.